Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. And today on the program, we're going to be talking to Paul Rusesabagina, who is the founder of the Hotel Rwanda Rusesabagina Foundation. And Paul is, you would know him from the film Hotel Rwanda. He was portrayed by the actor Don Cheadle, but it was Paul who, in 1994, saved, responsible for protecting the lives of 1,200 people at the Hotel Milcolin, which is in the film called Hotel Rwanda. Paul has spoken out about the conditions of contemporary Rwanda. He's particularly concerned about events in the Congo, where the Rwandan army is aiding and abetting an armed group there. And we'll be talking to Paul. And at the halfway point today, we're going to talk to, that would be 5:30 roughly, we're going to be talking to Zafar Bengash, a very prominent spokesman on issues to do with the Middle East. And we're going to be talking to him about the speech yesterday, or day before yesterday, of President Assad of Syria. And there, the developments in, whether there are any developments. I read the New York Times today. They weren't terribly optimistic. It's an issue where Canada has decided to join in heavily. There's NATO missiles being placed on the border, in the Turkish side of the Turkish-Syrian border, with a lot of implications. So those will be our topics. And Phil, you have an announcement, a couple of announcements before we get started.
Yes, it's a busy week at Betsatun. On Friday, they'll have a report, 7 p.m., report back from the World Social Forum. 3,000 delegates traveled to Porto Alegre, Brazil, to participate in the World Social Forum Free Palestine. And they will have a speaker about that. On Saturday, that's at 7 p.m. Betsatun, 612 Markham Street. And then again on Saturday, they will have an event at 7 p.m., Anti-Capitalism and Feminism, a launch of a three-part monthly series organized by the Great Toronto Workers' Assembly on Anti-Capitalism and Feminism. That is at Betsatun on Saturday night at 7 p.m.
And did you you get in the matter of Mr. Harry Fear?
Harry Fear, who is a journalist who has been from from Britain, and I'm going to resist the temptation to make a joke about his name, but he is
just go right on.
Okay, he's striking fear in the hearts of some people, yeah, because judging by the amount of nasty stuff on the internet about him, he must be wonderful. He's speaking tomorrow about his trip to Gaza at the University of Toronto Student Center presentation room, Mississauga, U of T Mississauga, from 2 to 5 p.m. tomorrow.
Good. By the way, the magic of internet, you can just check. He'll also be speaking in Hamilton, I think, on the 9th. He's touring Canada at the moment. And we are joined, I believe, by Paul Rusesabagina. Are you there, sir?
Just a second.
All right.
Yes, just a second.
We are taking the voice we're hearing is Paul. Well, I don't know. Let me see.
Okay, merci.
This is. Are we? Hello. Okay. Hi, Paul.
Yes. How are you?
Very good. Sorry to break in on a personal conversation. I hope the gentleman is okay.
No, my wife. Not. Actually, my wife left her phone here. Mm-hmm. And I'm at home, and she went out, she left her phone, and the other people were disturbing calling.
Yeah. Well, you're a busy man, Paul. And you're based now, I should tell our listeners, you're based in Chicago.
No, my foundation is based in Chicago, but me, I'm in Texas.
Ah, well.
You did not know that I was a cowboy with a blue jean, with a shirt, with a boot.
Good
with the heart, but no.
Well, we're gonna, in the future, we'll ask you to do a cowboy song. Good for you, Paul. You have done so many things. You've been involved in many key issues, of course, and you are, I will remind our listeners, you were the manager of the Mill Colleen, and your experience in rescuing 1,200 people led to the making of the film Hotel Rwanda. Now you have the Hotel Rwanda Rusa Sabagina Foundation, and you have followed the events in your country very, very closely and have been helping by speaking out and informing leading American and British, I know, in French I should include, political figures on things they might do, all of us might do, to assist in bringing a truly democratic government to Rwanda. And so on, my first question along those lines is, there is in prison in Rwanda a Victoire Ingabire, and the world is hearing very little about her. Can you tell us your thoughts about her and what you, what you've been saying about her?
Well, actually, thank you, Phil. Because you also have been following the Rwandan history and everything that has been going on in that country, including the wars, the genocides, and so on, thank you for being a witness. As you describe it very well, I have been traveling the whole world, trying to be the voice for the voiceless. I have been speaking out about people who have been in prison. Among them, you have some champions, opponents, political opponents to today's Rwandan president. And one of those people is Mrs. Victoire Ingabire, who left her whole family, her husband, in the Netherlands. This was in January 2010, and she, her own objective was just to challenge the then ruling president so that she could also campaign and one day become a president of that country. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, when she went back to Rwanda, she was, first of all, put in prison. And according to Rwandan rules, regulations, and laws, everything has been kind of tailored to the Rwandan president's style, even the laws. Today, Ingabire has been put in prison, and she's sentenced to 8 years imprisonment because of what they call in Rwanda the negationism, what they call genocide ideology. This is why she's in prison, for just no good reason. But she's not alone. As you will notice, or you have noticed, there is another political opponent who is actually the president of PDP, Pacte de Défense du Peuple, Deo Mushayidi. He also has been in prison for a while. Actually, also for since 2010, and he has been sentenced to death, to for life imprisonment. And his only crime was because he said that he also wanted to challenge the Rwandan president. But him being a Tutsi, they cannot accuse him of negationism. They cannot accuse him of being being a genocide ideologist. He has been accused of being simply a negative force to today's
a negative
woman, negative force, and for that he's sentenced for life. Another Hutu also who challenged the president and who is in Rwanda. His political party is PS, Parti Socialiste, and he has been also sentenced to 4.5 years imprisonment and also accused of negationism. How does the Rwandan justice measure negationism? How do they find it? How do they know that people have ideology or not? Actually, the message is clear. There is no freedom of speech in that country. There is human rights abused every now and then. There are people, 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 they, people have got no freedom anymore.
We're speaking to Paul Rusesabagina, founder of the Hotel Rwanda Rusesabagina Foundation. You can find that on the net. By the way, it's hrrfoundation.org. Paul, this matter has been before the world, actually, for some time. I know that there have been accusations that the government of Rwanda assassinates people in South Africa. Recently, an attempt was made on the life of a former general. We all know, who followed the issue, remember a gentleman named Seth Senda Shanga. How is it that Mr. Kagame is able to continue and to actually win a place in the Security Council of the United Nations while these kind of things are going on in and around his country?
It is a shame and so ironic to take Rwanda, the country that has been generating conflict in the region since 1990 today. A leader who has been behind all the, first of all, we used to call them rebels, rebel groups, proxy groups, militias. We call them any name, those people who have been trying to assassinate leaders. We have some death squads which have been, who have been moving all over the world, who went up to England to assassinate Rwandan refugees in England. But fortunately, Scotland Yard was informed on the right time, and then they presented those victims, innocent victims, from death. These were two Rwandans who had fled to England. This is, one of them is Jonathan Musonera, another one is Rene Claudel Mugenzi. Many others have been killed in Africa, as you said, as you mentioned, Seth Sendashonga, Lizinde, Mugirinfura, and many others have been assassinated in Nairobi. And 2 years ago, this was in 2010, the former chief of staff, General Nyamwasa, a Rwandan general who fled the Rwandan dictatorship, went to South Africa. He also there was an attempt on his life, but lucky enough, he came out of the attempt safe. But safe, is still alive. Today, Rwanda is arming militias all over the world. In Belgium, we have been threatened. My life, my house has been actually ransacked.
I remember, yes.
In Belgium, 4 times. There was an attempt on my life also, and they tried to kill me in a car accident. And today, it is so ironic, and it is a shame to actually the group of nations, the United Nations, to nominate a country, first of all, to appoint a country like Rwanda as a member of the Security Council. It is a shame to all of us to see that the international organization, which was supposed to unite the whole world, is now appointing Rwanda as the chair per country to regions in conflict. It is a total shame. Now, and we will not keep quiet. We'll always keep on talking about this and denouncing it to the attention of the whole world.
Yeah. Now, one place, by the way, I think you've got the world's attention, and you've spoken out about the issue, is in Eastern Congo, where there does seem to be an international consensus that the government of Rwanda is involved with it on aiding and abetting, I guess would be the words, a rebel group called M23. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, M23 actually is a new version of the Kagame Convention. In 1990, Kagame, the president of Rwanda, I mean to say, and his group of rebels, armed by the Ugandan army, invaded an independent free nation. Rwanda was invaded by the Ugandan army, and then they fought alongside with some Rwandan refugees, of whom Kagame was the leader. They happened to take power in 1994. After getting power in Rwanda, they were not satisfied. They invaded the Congo and created a permanent militia in the Congo, which was called RCD Goma. Then the international community's attention started focusing on RCD Goma, led by a certain Ruvenwa. That is when Kagame changed, maneuvered otherwise, and actually used some people, the Rwandan army, the Rwandan soldiers, and then changed the name of the organization, called it CNDP, and appointed a new leader, who this time became Nkunda. I remember I was traveling in the Scandinavian countries on December 10th, 2008, when the UN report on looted minerals in the Congo came out. That time, we noticed that, and Kagame also noticed that, the international community once again was focusing its attention on Eastern Congo, and Nkunda was becoming a target. So they said, now that Nkunda has been discovered, let us show the world that his mission is over. Are we going to send him, since we call him a Congolese general? No. Why? Why is he not sent to the Congo? Kagame was the one who decided to retain this general in Rwanda. He moves freely. He's not in prison. Has never been tried. Has never been convicted. He's just free like the wind.
Yes.
And now he's rather the one they are using to recruit other army leaders in Rwanda and cross the border, take them to a new movement. Because CNDP of Nkunda was discovered, now they pretended to keep silent, integrated in the Congolese army, as they pretend to say. And then, 2 years later, this is last year, they with the same general, Rwandan general, and one of them, for example, the leader of this M23 is General Ntaganda Bosco, one of the most wanted men by the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Mm-hmm. Now, he was born and raised in Kinigi in Rwanda, where this man has even a hotel, well known by humanitarian organizations. Ask Human Rights Watch. They will tell you they know him. They know where he was born, where he was raised. They will tell you that they see him very often in Ruhengeri. And yet, this Rwandan guy, who has been recruited by the Rwandan army, who works with the Rwandan Minister of Defense, who works with the Rwandan General Chief of Staff for the Army, Charles Kayonga, is now now is supposed to be a Congolese mutant, as they call it, mutiny. So this is M23, a new organization that Kagame called a new name and only just changed the name. That was enough.
Mm-hmm. By the way, and Paul, the course behind this is the extraction of minerals from East Congo passed through Rwanda. Is that right? And basically, the reason they are doing this is to exploit the resources of the Congo. Is that right?
Actually, thank you for reminding me this, because that is a shame. Because of minerals. In Eastern DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo, bordering Rwanda, it is one of the regions in the world where you will find a lot of minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell our audience that the Rwandan president himself is behind this looting of the Congo. If he was not behind this looting of the Congolese minerals, then he would be an ordinary person like you and I. I remember in 1994, Kagame had the maximum that he had was a car. Today, he has two private jets with special sophisticated equipment called anti-missile. So that even missiles cannot reach him. Two private jets.
He knows the precedent in that region, doesn't he?
Yes.
For danger of flying.
But fortunately, we tried to get a law initiated by the U.S. Congress. And this law happened to go through when it went to identifying. The main objective is to identify minerals and see where they come from. So when this rule came out, the Rwandan government was could not move. They could not go forward and sell their minerals. You would be surprised that Rwanda took back to the Congo 82 tons of stolen minerals from that country. And how do they steal those minerals? They are taking young Hutus to prison through the main entrance of the prison for no good reason. And then by the back door of the prison, under military supervision, they take them to the Congo to work in mines for warlords.
A feudal system.
Yes, of course.
We are speaking. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And still, this has created a total disaster in the region. These militias, which are entertained by the Rwandan government, are raping. They are killing young boys, raping women and children, young girls, sometimes just killing for killing, raping babies using shoes. So you can imagine how this is so sad and cruel.
Now, this is Paul Rusesabagina. He's the founder of Hotel Rwanda Rusesabagina Foundation. That's HRRFoundation.org. He's also, you can get his autobiography, An Ordinary Man. Paul, that last question, people have, I know that Mr. Kagame is unhappy that you have spoken out and has accused you of a few things. Are you considering now becoming more involved in politics? I've heard rumors that you might be a candidate for president.
I don't think they are rumors. That is simply and purely a truth. You see, the problem is this. In the Rwandan politics, there is one actor who is a single and simple one human being. This is President Kagame. Any Rwandan within the country who would raise a voice and say, I'm sorry, what is going on is not right, this person will be put in prison. Hmm. If there is anyone who says within the country that I'm challenging the president right now, that person is still put in prison. And the international community did not also cooperate and help bring democracy to Rwanda. But for the last 6-7 months, since July of this year, the last year, 2012, when the United States, through the State Department, sent a message to Kagame, telling him that, listen, sir, we are stopping our foreign aid, our military aid to your military school. And the message was so clear. They told him that, listen, this money is going out from our budget. But whatever happens, even if you stop helping an army, militias in eastern Congo, because this is the reason why the United States stopped their foreign aid to Rwanda. They said, we are not giving you back this money. Mm-hmm. So this was a strong message from the United States. And all we had seen was that Kagame had a full support channel from the United States. So this was a strong message saying that, listen, this guy is going too far. He has exaggerated using our name. He had been abusing. So now the international community, the rest of the international community, starting by the Netherlands, they did not take 24 hours to stop their foreign aid to Kagame. So the Netherlands, Germany, England, and what is Sweden, even the Bretton Woods institution, I mean to say the World Bank, International Monetary Fund, also started stopping foreign aid to Rwanda. Even the African Bank, which is of development, which is headed by a Rwandan, had no choice than doing this. So now Kagame is isolated. But inside his country, if you raise a voice, you will be like Victoire Ingabire, we were talking about a few minutes ago. You will be like Mushahidi, you will be like Ntaganda, you will be like Niyitegeka, also theorists, who both are, all of them are in prison. But from outside there, so inside the country, the political space, the opposition political space, is empty. And outside the country then, the only place where we can create a force, an opposition force, seems empty. And this is why we are jumping in. We want to fill that emptiness and create an alternative to the international community to show that the Rwandan political space is not empty. We are there, and we are there to occupy this political space. This is then the reason why I'm now involved, very much involved in politics. As I declared 3 weeks ago in Brussels, Belgium, on December 15, 2012, I'm now the president of PDR Ihumure. PDR meaning Party for Democracy in Rwanda. And I'm the president, and my main objective is to unite Rwandans against a dictatorship, well, which is in Kigali.
That is a very important... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, I just concluded.
Yeah. Well, Paul, that is a very nice summary, and we do appreciate it. It's been very educational. And you've done great work, and congratulations. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very, very much.
Bye-bye.
Is it possible to get a link of this?
Yes. We will make
because
sure.
I want to put it on the PDR website.
We will do that. Thank you very much.
If we can also have your link, we can also put it on our website so that people follow your radio regularly.
Well, I'm very grateful. Thank you very much, Paul.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Paul Roussa Sabagina. I have had many happy encounters with him around the world. It is someday I'm going to have to tell you a couple of them. But anyway, in Brussels in particular, one of the great cities. We'll go into that. You're listening to Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back. We'll talk to Zafar Bengash.